Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back, we're black, we're brown, ambition.
Hey, Amanda. Well, I'm glad you got your spunk back. Clearly.
I know.
Clearly COVID ain't take you out.
I know. But I just, this cough, whew, like I feel fine, but this cough is like, but you're not fine.
So, yeah, so it's going to be there for a minute. It's funny how we both came to the show. We're like, we're sick. I'm sick. Maybe it's COVID. Let's hope not. And then immediately after the show, it's COVID.
It is COVID. Yes, it was COVID. I feel kind of guilty because I feel like I had a scratchy throat before I went to Invest Fest. So I might have been the super spreader.
Oh, no. I hope it was worth it,
y'all. Yeah, because a couple people were like, oh, I was
there. Listen, they wanted to hug you. You said you weren't a hugger.
I know. Hey. I'm not gonna lie, I feel like I went a plane ride over. I was like, you know, back of the throat. I was like, So I don't think I got COVID from Invest Fest. I think I brought COVID to Invest Fest. But, you know, hopefully everybody's fine. I mean, yeah. So have you been?
Oh, good. Good. Enjoying like the transition to fall, which means I'm not sweating my face off all day, okay. Every day in New York. No, it's been good. I went and saw, am I allowed to say, okay, y'all. It's a very popular musical, but we can unpack it a little bit. I went and saw MJ the Musical. It was a birthday gift from one of my best friends. Okay. And it was fan-freaking-tastic. Wait, when's your birthday? Girl. It's like a week and a half ago.
I missed it.
Yeah. Man, you were listen, my birthday's like 2 days after Superman's. I was not trying to.
Mandra. I was like, wait, her birthday? I hope this was a gift they bought on your birthday and you watched it months later. But I'm like, oh, well, sorry. Happy birthday, Mandra.
Please. It's fine. I'm a big girl. And I'm not going to talk about my age now because when my mom sent me the birthday card and she put the number in it, fine, it's 35. When she did that, girl. I'm embarrassed to say that I felt some type of way about it. Like I did. It just, I was like, I'm too old for a birthday card even. I just felt so, like, mommy sent me a card. I'm 35. Anyway.
No, girl, 35 is like, I promise you, when I was in my 30s, I certainly was like, but once I hit 40, like, it doesn't, like, I'm 42 now, and I don't feel that same. I look at myself, yeah. I'm like, oh, look at my baby 30-something-year-old self. 35 is still such a baby. Look at your baby face. Girl, bye. You still got your knees, you know? Like, look, I got one trick knee, and I'm like, Lord, every time I wake up in the morning, I'm like, come on, she got to wake up second. So, like, now, once I hit 40, I don't see what I tell you. You can't tell me nothing. I feel good aside from that knee. But like, I didn't care as much. But definitely in my 30s, I definitely was like feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm 30. Oh my God. But by 40, yeah. You're going to be like, oh girl. Because I still feel young. I feel like, girl, like, you know, we still got this good melanin, you know, elasticity still working in the skin. Okay, full head of hair.
That's the good thing about being a little chunky is, you know, the skin is always like, people get fillers. I don't need all that. It's all au naturel. It's called go to Dunkin' during the day. I'm really of my age. In fact, I think I'm like, I'm technically living like a 75-year-old. First of all, I have a trick ankle. You have a trick knee. I have a trick ankle. The one that like goes crunch when you get out of bed and you're just not sure, is this the day when I go down? But yeah, I've been gardening. It was a real treat for me to get out of the house and go to the city. But we saw MJ the Musical, and obviously he's an extremely, extremely complicated man, and, you know, very complex story, very controversial life. But the talent of those performers, I don't know how. And the young man, Miles Frost, listen to me, that young man. No. My friend Miles Frost, who plays MJ, who plays Michael, his Broadway debut. They like plucked him out of obscurity. Incredible. It was fantastic. And they brought down the house, and I feel like it was a really, they did not gloss over the controversial bits. It was like the true story of someone's life, you know, like here's what it was, all the warts and all. But it was very fun to go out in the city and, you know, be my age, have a little fun.
Oh, I love it. I saw the picture. I think, was it on Instagram you posted a picture of Rio in the act of running?
Yeah. When is he not running? Toward me? Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about, I can't wait to start talking about bad parenting. I know we're gonna talk about that. That's why I was like,
I was trying to make the transition. Well, not that you're a bad parent, because obviously you're not.
But I got stories, but
let's, I was gonna ask, like, yes. One of the things I do, like with Roman and Amelia, my niece, my nephew that live close to me, is that I don't post them on social, but they love to use the filters on Insta, you know, like the dog one or the cat one. So they always ask me, Auntie, I wanna do the faces. So then we'll do the faces, and sometimes I'll record it just to save it to share with their mom, like of them, like the one with the sculpted one where it's like hello, and it's like all.
You're
the
making face me is super... feel like I should do that with Rio. Why don't I ever think to do that with him?
Honestly, he would love that. It's so much fun, especially like the animal ones. Oh my gosh, they love it. And so, but you know, like I said, I don't post them on social. Their mom doesn't want them, you know, on social media, which obviously I respect and I can understand. But recently, a few things. Speaking of bad parenting, I don't know. Have you seen, like, there's this new challenge, which is so terrible. And I've seen some terrible challenges involving kids where it's like the scary ghost one. It's a filter. And this ghost with like red eyes and like green hair floats in the background and says, ooh, and makes these terrifying noises. And so people start the recording and run out of the room and leave their kid. They leave the room. Usually they have the room is dark or whatever. And then the kid is like watching, you know, like the ghost flying behind them. And so they're confused as to whether or not is this happening like really in the room, or is it just the camera? But most of them really believe it's happening, and they get terrified and they scream and they claw at the door. It's really bad. And then the parent opens it laughing. And I'm like, I don't see what's funny about that. But yeah, I don't know if you've seen that challenge, but it's terrible.
I haven't seen that one, but you did bring up one that I had seen, which is when the parents are like, someone's trying to fight me. Go outside. I told them you would fight them. Yes. And I've only seen it once. I guess I'm not on that side of TikTok that often, but the little boy who was like, he was a preteen, you know, he wasn't a little kid. But it was really adorable because he's like putting on his shoes. He's like, okay, mom, whatever, I got you. And he just like runs out the door. But those pranks are not it. Like, for the most part, with little babies, now that Rio's old enough, he can finally say, like, I just took him to a theme park yesterday. It was a brilliant idea that I had. I have so many like real Instagram versus reality ideas based on this trip from hell to the theme park. But I put him on a ride that I thought he was tall enough. Other kids his age were on it, whatever. You get in the little car, and he was looking at me because I was walking away, and he's like, no, stay. And I was like, well, it's only, you know, mommy can't fit. But then he's reaching for me as it jerks him around the corner. And this boy, poor boy, I didn't realize it was going to, it's called the whip it, but I thought.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
I thought it was just a little car and they go in a circle. No, they whip you around the corner. And yes, I just see my baby. Like, poor thing. Like, it's a good thing he's made out of jello because he might have had whiplash. He made it two rounds and we had to evacuate him. They let me go back in and pick him up. But he's like, I KO'd. And like, as a parent, how could you ever want to scare your child? Like,
I know.
But, you know, it's a lot of poor... Different choices. Parenting choices, right? Yes. Different parenting choices out there. Yeah.
And so like it kind of leads me to, I don't know if you've ever heard of iCarly. It was like a really popular, was it Nickelodeon? I want to say iCarly was on Nickelodeon. Was it Disney?
Was that with Demi Lovato?
No, it was with Jenny McCurdy and another young woman. I forget the name of the other young woman, but Jenny McCurdy, Jeanette McCurdy, but I think everybody kind of knew her as Jenny. She was on something called iCarly and Sam and Cat. Look at me getting the lion. But either way, it was on. She was super popular kid star. She just wrote a book called I'm Glad My Mom Died. Mm. And on the surface, it's like, yikers. Yeah, you know,
what
like,
a title.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, because it's, the cover of the book is hilarious. I mean, if you want to call this topic, things hilarious. She's looking like, oh, well, and she's carrying like a pink urn. And
oh, my God.
Kind of, I know. She's kind of holding it irreverently.
At the cover.
You have to look at the cover.
Oh, my God.
And okay. Then, but when you get to, she's been doing a lot of interviews lately. And when you hear about the abuse, like every type of abuse you could think of, you're like, oh, I can understand why she's glad her mother died. Because her mother had, I mean, she had, and this is just a trigger warning, you know, like EDs, eating disorders, her mother encouraged. But also there were like, you know, I just want to be mindful because I know some people have suffered abuse. Just think about every type of abuse you could think of. It just, you know, she didn't want to be an actress, an actor. She was kind of forced and pulled into it. And, you know, there are laws in place that are supposed to protect children, but obviously, I mean, like even most recently we hear about producers and things that, you know, took advantage of children. I was watching this interview with Macaulay Culkin, how he talked about how he had no idea what was going on in Home Alone. He said, you know, he's like, I didn't read the script. I didn't choose any of the movies. I didn't decide what I was going to do or not. It was just kind of like show up and say this. And he did. There's a law that came into practice after so many childhood actors, when they grew up, had no money, that I think by law, they're supposed to set away in a special bank account, like 15% or something like that. But many of them said that nobody reinforces that. And so there's nothing. There's no money left over when it's all said and done. I'm sure you've heard of Gary Coleman. He was like Arnold from Different Strokes. So I remember he sued his parents. Gary Coleman. Yeah, that's Gary Coleman. And then there's also like Webster at times. And I believe he sued his parents. So it's like, dang, that was literally like probably 20 or so years ago. And here this one young woman, it was, you know, 10 or so years ago. And this is still happening. And so I just want to talk about like, what do you... So that seems obvious, and they're not looking after children when your child is on TV or streaming platform. But what about now with parents who have kids and they're showcasing them on social media? Like, people are monetized there.
There's whole families, social media famous platforms. YouTube families.
Yes. Yes.
With kids, older kids too. I think we think about like the celebrities and I think we've heard of like child stars in the context of Hollywood, like Macaulay Culkin and Lindsay Lohan and like Hilary Duff. And you think about these stars who had their wild years, and then like Drew Barrymore and how iconic she was as a baby drug addict, and how America was like, yes, we'll buy more tabloids with her on the cover. But I think what you bring up is like the social media families, the social media children who aren't in traditional, like, yeah, in the traditional architecture of child stars as we know it, but it's similar. Like, their parents are like, it's not a microphone and a stage, it's an iPhone and a tripod, you know? And I do think about that as a mom. I mean, the occasional cute photo of Rio was one thing, but having him be the star... not to say that I don't enjoy some accounts where, it is mommies and kids, especially the ones where they're teaching about parenting and stuff. But it's, you want those kids to be protected. But I can't think, unless TikTok or these social media platforms start putting warnings or taking down accounts where they have concerns, the long-term consequences of that, I think, are a lot harder to pinpoint as like, this child's in danger. You know what I mean? Because very likely they're not going to have the parents. Like, they're only going to post what is, like, what they want to be seen.
Yeah. Like, there was one woman, I forget her name, and I don't want to say her name because I mean, not that she's not deserving, but her and her husband, they wanted to adopt a child with special needs. And so they followed, there's a whole big story on them. They followed the trajectory.
Oh, God, I remember this. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they did. They found, you know, which it's commendable, which I was like, okay. But then you start to quickly realize that she wanted to adopt a child with special needs for the content. Because she already had like, a family. And so she specifically wanted a child for special needs. She specifically wanted a child from an Asian country, I believe, with special needs. So she did so. And like children with special needs are apt to do, they needed a lot of special attention. And she basically gave that child back, which the level of trauma... You know, and there was something that was so crazy. One of the reasons she said is, which is so crazy, is that for, like, within the first year of like, an, I guess, like pre-adoption, that they told her that you're not allowed to post this child on social media, you know, because you have to get them like, you know, acclimated or whatever. And she fought that rule. She said, but like my family and I, we make our money via social media. And I think it's unfair for that rule for us. Can you imagine? Not like you have a, no one, oh my goodness. Sometimes
that's
you just want to square
up
with people.
Process. They don't want you to post. And she was fighting it.
Yes, because it was going to be part of her content to say, look at us, the saviors of this child. And then, but the child, like really everything from like what you would expect, because the child, you know, went hungry for a very long time. So they would hide food in their room. You know, they would steal food at the refrigerator when they were sleeping, because this child is like, I don't know when I'm going to eat again, because that's been my experience. You know, the child was aggressive, but these are things like when I worked in Newark, there were some children that I remember in particular, one little girl who was her mother used drugs while she was pregnant with her. And so I had to learn what kind of behavior to expect from her. She was like really, really clingy. Sometimes too, she would fly off the handle, get very angry. She was always afraid. She needed reassurance a lot. I remember like for the first like month or two, I used to just carry her on my hip everywhere. And I remember like the state came in and they like marked me down for points saying that like, you can't carry her. And I'm like, I'm going to. Like she needed like the real, it took about, I want to say 3 or 4 months before she realized it's safe in this classroom. It's safe in this classroom. And the only way she could, like literally everywhere I went except for the bathroom, she was on my hip. It was like, if I sat down to do circle time, she's on my hip. If I did anything I did, and because after doing research, I realized that like she needed like she's only three. She needed the ultimate of reassurance, you know? And so, I mean, I don't know what that must be like when you have to take a child home, but you know that, you know? And so it's like, but you hear all these horror stories about like these kind of like parents, especially YouTube, you know, because I feel like social media, you know, the smaller clips, but there are literally some YouTube channels where it's about the full family. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I know there's a lot of positive ones, but I do wonder, you know, what happens when that child is 10, 11, 12 and might say, I don't want to be on camera anymore. And
not
the way
even
you make
like,
them.
Yeah, the families, there's also like where it's just the kids. And it's like the videos that Rio watches on YouTube, there's like little boys opening presents, opening toys, or like playing with toys. And they have these huge channels. And how can we be sure that their parents are like, or what's to protect them so that their parents are, because YouTube, of course you earn from that. They have like tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of subscribers sometimes. They must be making money.
That Ryan little boy, he was like 9 years old, was making $20 million a year, Mandy. $20 million. You're like, wait, hold on, Rio. So you should have opened a present? Yes.
He's just now gotten into the little kids opening toys. Before that, it was like Super Truck.
Yes.
Excuse me. I don't know what it was called.
It's a little boy named Ryan. I don't know if he still does this, but it started because.
Baby Blippi?
No, it started because his grandparents didn't live near him and his family. So his mom would record him opening his Christmas presents and stuff and say, thank you so much. And then posted it on, you know, YouTube, thinking no one's going to watch it. I'm just going to send it to grandma. And then other kids, you know, just started to be like, hey, I started watching. But yeah, you should Google Ryan. At one point, I don't know what he's doing now, but he was making upwards of $20 million a year.
So that's a child actor.
And so that's what you start to think, like, there's no laws in place. I mean, the laws that are in place for child actors to protect their finances and their mental health and things, even that's not being seen through. So let alone for like social media. So I think it's going to be really interesting. It's almost like how, you know, when it first came out and you could be like, I love this water. And then the FTC was like, oh, that's cute, girl. Hashtag sponsored. Hashtag.
Yeah.
Ad. Yeah. You know? And so because it was such a new, like such, new territory that we were moving into. So I think like this is new territory. And I think that like her book might open up like, you know, the conversation of like, wait a minute, what is really happening with child actors, and not just child actors, but like the social media family and personalities and kids. And are they being protected financially? Are they being protected emotionally? Because it's just like the wild, wild west out here, you know?
And that's very different than like, I feel like every other week I see another social media post about how if you have children, put them on your payroll. Like if you have an LLC or a company, put the kids on your payroll so that you can pay them. And then I think for that too, it's like, it's up to the parent, but making sure that those funds actually are put aside for the kid, right? not just to benefit you, the business owner, but actually to save and invest for your child. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that we take for granted that we approach things from like, how can we protect and care for the children? But there are like desperate people, greedy people who get swept up and they're little, they have their little cash cows and it's like this young woman, Jeanette McCourt. Yeah.
Yes, literally.
Where like they become breadwinners for their family. And that's such a fucked up dynamic to me. I can't, how do you, that's just not normal. That she's like it's just not
as
normal.
As a kid, you are not equipped to manage what that means to be the breadwinner for your family, what that means to have fame. She said, you're not equipped. You don't have the tools. She said, it's hard enough for adults. But she's like, you just don't have the tools. And then, you know, the people that you lean on to trust, that's all you can do is hope that they do you right, you know? Like, remember Charli D'Amelio? She was the number one followed person on TikTok. And they had a Hulu show. And you kind of got to see the behind the scenes. When I tell you, I was so sad for that girl. Because you see that, like, she really loved dancing. And then you see that she's having, like, meetings with, like, the family business manager. And it's like they have these big, thick folders of all the things her year is planned out. And you can see in her face. Because at the time, she's a teenager. Like, 16, 17. Not even 17. Like, 15, 16, whatever. In that age range. And she's like, am I going to have time for dance? And they're like, well, we'll see. Ah! Ooh! I could just see her face like, okay, like.
The thing is, like, some kids want it and they'll beg for it. They want to be on social media. They want to do the dances and be famous on TikTok. And I think it's our job as parents to, like, say no, have boundaries for their own. And you know what, for their own protection. And you know what also I'm thinking of as you're saying this is a couple of things. One, of course, I just saw the MJ story, the musical on Broadway. And then Serena Williams, came out on the cover of, was it Vanity Fair or Vogue?
Vogue. I think it was Vogue.
Just recently, she came on. She was on the cover with Olympia, her daughter, and to announce her retirement. Vogue, yeah. Let's put some respect on Vogue. And she looks stunning, my God, with the little Olympia holding her train. But she was there to announce her retirement from tennis. And, you know, and I think it was in that interview or another one that she gave recently, maybe it was that one, where she was basically saying, like, parenting styles today, like, that's not what made me a superstar. It's not what made me like the greatest athlete of all time. And when I look at Michael Jackson's story and how physically, emotionally, verbally abusive his father was, and to him especially, and drilling him in with that idea of perfection. That's why Michael was so good at what he did. And that's why Serena, I mean, I don't know Serena's story. I don't think, no, not at all. It wasn't as bad as that. But still, like, I don't know if we can even have another MJ or Serena. Because of how parenting has evolved. You know, there's no way in Hades that I'm going to let Rio, like, I'm, you know, I just feel like we have much more information and we are the byproduct of that kind of parenting style. So many of us, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, that, I mean, not that we're not going to have great talents, but I think it's just like, how do we still cultivate that great talent and success without the abuse, the pain, you know, sacrifices.
It's hard because you're right.
These babies to make.
Do you get that right? Do you get that next level?
At what
you
cost?
Know? So, you know, you're right. You know, question. And like, and it's crazy because now, so I, when I came back from InvestFest, I'm not gonna put people's business out there, but girl, at least three or four people who are what I call the girls, like G-U-O-R-L-S. So what I call the girls is like, you know, those people that's like, you know, I made $1 million in 30 minutes or like, you know, my, you know, like, I could probably classify myself one of the gurus back in the day, you know, where it's like, you know, you see them and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, they're doing so amazing. They're making a lot of money. Everything's so great. But behind the scenes, the girls is suffering. And so like, you know, so I like about four of the girls came up to me at InvestFest and after. So like some of these really big, well-known business owners that were like, hey, Tiffany, how you doing? I'm really miserable. And I'm like, what? They're like, I'm really miserable. Can I talk to you? I'm like, what? You know, I always feel like I still have the scent of my preschool teacher self on me because that happens a lot. Yeah. I know, for real. And they're just like, can I have circle time?
I know. Can you carry me on your hip for a minute, Miss Tiffany?
Yes. And I'm just like, you know, and I already know. And I said, let me guess, you're overworked and overwhelmed and you're making a lot of money, but you feel locked in and you look at your calendar and you say, who made these choices? I don't even have a say of what my day looks like. And they're like, yes, yes. I said, like, how do you know? I was like, because I lived there for a while. And you don't know how to break yourself free because you're like, this is the way you make your money. So if you stop, you won't make any money. They're like, yes, yes, yes. And I said, yes. And they're like, but you seem good now. And I said, I am. This is, aside from Jarrell not being here, this is the happiest I've been in business since probably the first time I started my business. Because I'm not overworked and overwhelmed. I don't look at my calendar and think to myself, how did I get here? What are all these things on here? I don't want to do these things. I had already been, like 2 years ago, I'd started the transition to get away from that because that's why I'd hired Zion, my business coach, and I hired Dr. Green because I said, I can't continue like this. Something has to give. So I'd already been doing the work, but when Jarrell passed away, the stuff that I was tiptoeing toward, I just threw it out the window. I was like, yeah, so I'm actually not tiptoeing. It's over. I'm not doing that. What about nope? Because, you know, perspective was like on 100. And so for all of them, I kind of was just like, I'm not going to pretend like you're not going to have to make big choices. Like, you know, it's not going to, it's okay to start with a tiptoe, but you're going to have to make some big choices. It might be letting go of staff, which is never easy or pleasant. It might be dropping a specific business model. Like one woman in particular, she said she hated this one business model. And I said, then why do you do it? She said, because it makes money. I said, does your other business model make money? She said, yes. She said, but not as much as this one. I said, but if you don't do the current business model, will you be homeless? No. Will you be hungry? No. Will your family suffer financially in a significant way? No. You'll just make less money and be happier. She was like, yeah, but I said, I get it. Because it's not, and it's honestly not really about the money that I found, Mandy, is that if you're one of the girls and you hang out with the girls all the time, I mean, no, don't. And honestly, I've never joined it.
I won't join
I've just,
it.
I've definitely been like an outsider looking in, but then I saw myself with some girl tendencies. I was like, ooh, we gotta switch this up because all of us can have girl tendencies, you know? But do not, because what happens when you join the official girls club, whether you're a man or woman or otherwise, they and not because they're bad people, not at all, they normalize this feeling of get it because it can be gotten, you know? And so she was like in that space where she was just like, oh my gosh. And I asked her, I said, because there was like all these behind the scenes, like dinners and whatever that I was not invited to, but that's okay. Like at InvestFest. And I said, so when you were there,
they weren't good dinners then.
Felt happy to you? And she was like next to none. This one person was telling me how they keep breaking into their house and because, you know, they kind of wear their wealth outwardly. They keep, so they have to have 24-hour security.
Oh,
and
this person is
partnered and has children. So it's like, you've worked so hard to build a successful business to achieve freedom for your family and yourself only to live in a cage. And I was just like, and then when I tell you, Mandy, I've never seen more bodyguards ever in my life. You know, like we've been to like girl.
Doesn't have bodyguard?
Girl, I'm not That's here to say no names, but I'm just saying.
Oh, sorry. I think I saw that on social. I'm like, oh.
You did?
You got bodyguard? Did?
But I'm saying.
Yeah, I saw it on social. How else would I know that?
Yeah, yes. I'm not. I'm just, I'm keeping it light, but I'm just saying. Yes, because it is on social. But
VA fans only coming for hugs, right?
I mean, like, genuinely hugs. When I tell you,
we're not going to get Jon Snow.
It was literally. And you know, Mandy, we have been to a lot of conferences, and this is the first time ever that I have seen the majority of people with bodyguards. And I was thinking, like, oh man, it just seems so. I don't even know. I felt sad because I thought you worked so hard, you make all this money. And then you live with at least a sense of fear. And I'm just like, how do we get here? Yeah. And so like, I mean, because, you know, we talk about, you know, me and Mandy talk about business and things all the time. And it's like everyone doesn't navigate from that space. Right. So some of it is also like what you put out there. You want to make sure, like me, you know, you can be successful and, you know, but you're not going to see me in a Lamborghini, which is no shade to that. It's just that, like, you know, I think Lamborghinis are mostly stick shift. I can't drive stick. Plus, it's not the kind of car that I would want for myself anyway. But knowing that, you know, if that's on the outside, if you got a $100,000 chain or watch on, because, you know, a lot of the guys like to wear like these really expensive watches. So then, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have those things, but what I'm saying is know that there's a trade-off for when you present those things publicly, that then it entices people who don't have to come and get it from you. But yeah, when I tell you, and I've gotten a quote, like, I asked one of the girls how much, you know, 24-hour security costs. At minimum, you're looking at $10,000 a month, Mandy. You're looking at about $10,000 a month for 24-hour security, you know?
Yeah. Is it threats like that? And it makes me sad. I mean, I feel like last week, well, I know you were sick last week. We were talking about InvestFest. I think at one point you were like, it was beautiful. It's like black and brown people together under one roof, no drama, no nothing. And I'm like, is that because everyone, like, it's like a 7 foot tall bodyguard in every corner? But in all seriousness, yeah. It makes me sad because, like, what is being sold?
Yeah.
Invest for what exactly?
Yes.
I thought it was health, happiness, wholeness.
Yes.
You know, live the life that you want. Yeah. But we're always, I mean, this is America, right? So I shouldn't be so naive as to assume. And I know, I mean, I see it in Black American culture, even in, you know, now being a part of a Dominican American family in that culture, the bells, the whistles, the glitz, the glam, yeah. The trappings of that. And that is still predominantly the stuff that people want and they associate with success.
Yes.
And I think as long as that is the case, you will have misery. Thank goodness for your. I thought the girls were us.
No, girl. We're not one of the girls.
Like, I feel like.
No, like, you can have
my schedule because of between listening to you talk about entrepreneurship and your journey forever, plus the fact that I'm just a lazy Leo at heart. Like, I'm not working harder than I need to.
Yes.
My hours are 10 to 3.
Good.
And I will make it work. And I've become really good at saying no to stuff that I just am like, that doesn't sound like fun. $1,000 here. And like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Lazy lion, okay?
No, but I love that for you because it's like, because here's the thing that I've learned. If you work hard, I mean, it's part of it, but if you're consistent and you are, you know, strategic, you know, then you're going to be fine. You can make things work within whatever parameters that you set. Like, I love to see, like, my sister Tracy, you know, she started her PR company like 2 years ago. And she's like, you know, I never thought about it because I was asking her, like, what do you do on Friday? She's like, I get my hair done. And I was like, yeah, what else? She's like, you know what, Tiffany, because of listening to you, and I know you take Fridays off, you know, I took Fridays off almost from the very beginning. And it's like, she's like, I didn't even think, you know, it took me years to get to a place of Fridays off because I didn't think I could do that. And she's like, you know, I've got a multi-six-figure business as a result, but I can take Fridays off. And I just thought, and that's what I'm wanting. Like, when I say the girls, I mean, it's the, you make big money, but secretly you're having a hard time. And I have definitely been one of the girls. And I was like, oh, no. Although I wasn't part of the click, which helped me to step away because the click will keep you in bondage because they will tell you, like I said, not because from a place of a bad place, they want to motivate each other. Girl, you can, if you did this, you could get to 8 figures this year. You could get to 20 million. And you're like, I could. And it is great to have peers push you to be your best. But I want to challenge, what does best mean? To me, your best is healthy, happy, whole success.
I want my three little cucumbers. I want to water the plants. You know, I want to. That's why I'm lifestyle inflation and trying to keep that at bay. I'm glad that my life has, like, I've never, and I think very much you too, like, we just have kept it humble as far as the cost of our life, like our noodle budget. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I don't feel the pressure. Yes, I'm still breadwinner, but I don't feel the pressure to go at an unsustainable pace because of how much the life costs me. And I'm so, like, I'm just desperate to protect that. Like, I want to protect it so that I can watch Love Island for an hour before I pick up Rio to, like, get my mind on straight and come home and play with him for 3 hours and not, you know, like, yeah, so I think you set that example. We have to set that example. Like, so many people need to hear that message. Yeah.
So if you're listening, you're one of the girls and you wanted to step out, come on over. You could call me. I'll give
you're
you
in
all
the
my
right place.
Yes. I always, like, used to tell, when I tell you, my phone was ringing. Yeah. I was like, hello? How you get my number? They were like, I heard that. It's so, like, yeah. So I'm glad, though, because what that tells me is that people wanted to break free from that. They're redefining success for themselves. So
We will be right back with Boost or Break, y'all. Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, 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 BA fam. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's incredible. This is according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 150 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Okay, it's smart. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Just go to Indeed.com/Brown Ambition right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire, you need Indeed.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
And now it's time to boost or break, or boost or break, or boost. Break. Girl, I'm going to break real quick, and that's what I'm going to break upon. I am tired of coughing. I'm tired.
I was just about to say, don't jinx it, because you haven't coughed this hard. You've been talking most of the show. I'm impressed.
I have been holding it in. Like, I'm like, I am so tired of coughing. And we said this earlier, but I think it's kind of funny. I'm tired of coughing because I keep peeing on myself.
Girl, you need to get the, listen, I have been, like I told you, like I've been to aisles of CVS that I just had never, like they were the horror. Like that's like the back of the store. I don't want to go down that aisle. That aisle's not for me. I had childbirth put me down that aisle. And I think any woman, no matter what your body, like age, gravity, it turns on
us.
Like,
because at this
coughing
point,
fits.
I just slap
when
a
I had COVID,
on.
It was like depends all day.
Girl, I just slap a pad because I'm just like, I'm not even on my menses, as the old ladies would say. Because literally I have to choose a struggle. Am I going to cough or am I going to practice these Kegels? Because normally, you know, no, normal every day, you know, a sneeze and a cough, you could feel it coming and then you prepare yourself. You're like, here it comes. Okay. And tighten. No, because these coughing fits can literally come from nowhere. I mean, I'm just like, I don't.
Good thing you work from home.
There goes another one. And so like, yes, I rebuke the cough and the weak bladder. I would like to take a very big brown break from both. I'm tired. Like I actually feel better. Like, you know, I don't feel sick, but like this coughing is this dry, arid cough. Literally it's dry on top, wet at the bottom. So yes, that is my
humidifiers that I slept next to one that really helped.
Oh, you're right. You know what? I think I have one because you're right. It is dry because my chest is feeling like, so I think I'm going to get, I'm going to whip out my humidifier. But yes, my brown boost is just COVID. You suck. You filthy animal. And, you snuck in the middle of the night. This is my first real bout with COVID. I think I had COVID very early on just because I lost my sense of taste and smell. Like that January before COVID was like like, you know,
call. Oh, damn, I did. Really? Okay. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. So I remember being like, that's weird. Maybe because I thought I had the flu because I had a really, like, I got like a cold. It was only feeling bad for maybe like a day or two. I remember I was sweating one night really, really bad. I woke up like in a puddle of water. And then maybe a week later, I lost my sense of taste and smell. And I was like, that's a new flu symptom. And then 2 months later, COVID hit. And I was like, wait, was that COVID? Which probably it was, but this is my first like knowing bout with COVID. So I am brown boost breaking this damn COVID. But thank God for tea and vitamins and rest. And, you know, it's one of the things where I really am grateful that I finally stepped away from not having control of my calendar, not having control of my life, letting the business take over. Cause I was literally able to wipe the whole week. Like, I think all I did was really like run a mission. And I was able to wipe the whole week clean because I have choices and I'm actually leaning into those choices that I've always had. So,
well, I am so glad that you're feeling better. It's coming. Are we at the stage now where we're grateful to have it instead of monkeypox?
Girl, yes.
Because monkeypox looks painful.
Girl, I can't.
Ouch. Bless to anyone who's dealing with that. Yeah, I'm really glad that you're on. I'm glad that you're on the mend. And oh, yeah, I was going to tell you the Honey Pot pads. Amazing. Really? They got this like menthol cooling element. They're probably terrible for you because they say nothing scented down there. But when I need a little, when I'm going off my little walks or my jump rope, oh no, I either need my Honey Pot pad or I finally invested in those $40 underwear that you're supposed to wear for periods now. And I'm not even going to do that thing where we talk about lady business and we say, listen to our male listeners, we're sorry. You know, we got a comment and maybe I should share it in our Q&A this week. We got a comment from a listener who was like, you know what? You guys make me feel bad every time you right. discount men. Okay. I'm a male listener. I'm a fan. We're out here. Don't insult
okay,
us.
So well, you know what? To that hey, male listener. I cough and I pee on myself. And I'm wearing a pad.
You should know these things.
Yes, because, and when we jump rope.
Yes.
I'm either wearing a pad or a wad of toilet tissue down there because I know that I'm going to release a little something when I jump rope as well. Okay.
Do you want us snatched or do you know what I mean? Like you can't have it both ways. You want us snatched and not in a puddle of our own urine or like, what do you want? Like, what do you want from us? Cause like things cost, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, my listeners? Okay, let me get to my boost. I'm gonna do a boost. There's some data. I've been waiting for data on the Great Resignation. I was curious, just from my own anecdotes. I mean, obviously, I talk to women every damn day, which is amazing, a privilege, about their journey through the Great Resignation. And of course, I stress all the time, you know, just because everyone else is quitting doesn't mean that you should be quitting. That being said, data has just come out from the Pew Research Center that shows you can actually quit your way rich.
Yes!
I wasn't lying. Okay. So Pew looked at what percentage of workers saw a wage increase over the last year by jumping to a new employer versus people who stayed with the same employer. And I will put the caveat here that a lot of people who stayed at work got wage increases, but they were like inflation, like cost of living, little bumps and things like that. But the vast majority, 60% of people who got a new job, took a new job and quit in the last year in 2022, 60% saw a wage increase versus just less than half who stay with their employer actually saw a wage increase. So shout out to my quitters out there. Get out there securing the bag. That being said, I saw another stat also from Pew, something like 25% of workers who quit said they regretted their choice. So I wanted to highlight. Yeah, I wanted to highlight that. One, I think like taking any job, whether you've quit and you taken a new job or whatnot, like there's always a chance that it may not be the right fit. You know, there's always, and hindsight is 20/20. And my thing is always wanting to encourage people that you can make the best decision with the information that you have now. But I always encourage people to not make a decision in haste or make a decision because they think that a new job's going to solve a core issue that they may have with their current job, because it may be something that is either they can work out at their current job or something that they actually are contributing to and that just carries over to the next job. But really like sitting with yourself and making sure that you are taking a new opportunity for the right reasons. And at the same time, if you do end up in a situation where you're like, you know, I took this new job, it's not the best fit for me, I realize that, okay, get on up and you can do it again. Like sometimes we make decisions and we got to pivot afterward because we realize, okay, I did the best thing with the information that I had. And now that you've been in the job, now you have information you never could have had when you were just
you know, on the outside looking in. So to anyone who's sitting in a job right now that you took during the Great Resignation and you're thinking, this is not for me, my only message to you is just, that's okay. You can find a new opportunity again, you know? You didn't do anything wrong. You took a chance, and that's all right. All right? So don't beat yourself up. Just use it as information to guide you to your next best decision as far as your career. And, you know, get a wage increase while you're at it. That's my boost. You okay, Tiff? I saw that coffin fit. That's what you've been doing. You've been muting.
I've been muted.
That's why I'm like, I haven't heard any coughing.
I'm fighting for my life over here. Literally, I muted. It's just like, I had a roll of fit. I was like, So,
okay.
That is our Brown Bruce Brown break. Woo, child.
That's the show.
Don't forget, though, you know, we have BAQA on Friday. So keep asking your questions. DM us on social. BrandonPitchPodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Click, like, ask us anything. We love answering questions. And we'll see you in a few days. Yeah, that's our show.
That's it. Bye-bye, BA fam. Hey, BA fam, we could not do this show without your support or the support of our team behind the scenes. The Brown Ambition Podcast is produced by Cumulus Podcast Network. It's edited by the wonderful Imani Crosby and produced by Tanya Bustos. Dennis Stemplinski is our in-house tech guru, and I am Mandy Woodruff Santos, your co-host, and I will see y'all next week.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.